We are in the last message in the series on biblical wisdom in a digital world, or you may call it biblical discernment in a digital world. In your handout, young people, you would have not gotten this downstairs, and you're kind of getting in on the second half. If you did not get this last week, I'll give you the first four or five blanks here that we covered last week when dealing with a sin crisis in your life or in your home. I think the message on Sunday night was very much preventative maintenance. If we would come to standards in some areas, we would avoid cliffs that we're talking about like we're dealing with tonight. I introduced this message last week by saying, I've been on the other side of the desk and heard these words, Pastor, I never thought this would happen in my family. Like, Pastor, I could never imagine this in my wildest dreams. I am in shock. Like, Pastor, I'm completely crushed by what I just found out. Crises, and specifically sin crisis. How do we deal with those? I think it's vital that we deal with them, that we deal with them biblically. If you're taking notes, you can write down these number of things. Number one, correct thy son. If you're working with children, correct them while there is hope. The word crisis in the Chinese language is made up of two letters. One refers to danger, one refers to opportunity. In counseling teen parents and teens over the years, I have often said in a crisis that yes, it's an obstacle, but yes, even greater than that, it is an opportunity. And parents, if a crisis happens in your home with a young person, be thankful it happened in your home while you can still work with that young person than that it didn't happen after they were out of your home. Be thankful for that. But by all means, correct it. By all means, address it. By all means, don't be like an Eli who swept it under the carpet, didn't restrain his vile children, which that was a crisis. That was a sin crisis. And Eli didn't, and boy, everything got worse from there. And so correct thy son while there's hope. Number two, clarify facts. Clarify facts. Before you jump too high, before you get too emotionally distraught, before you go screaming and yelling, and clarify facts. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. It's folly and shame unto him. I remember years ago when my son was small, I was at a function. And somebody came up to me and they gave me some information about my son that was not good information. He had not been behaving as a five-year-old or six-year-old. I forget how old he was. And I went and confronted that, and I dealt with that. I dealt with it like a dad would deal with something that was wrong. However, I didn't have all the facts. And when I got all the facts, boy, I have mud on my face. And so I say, just get all the facts. That's vital. Understand that when you're searching for facts, parents, there's a great temptation when somebody's done wrong, and that is to not tell the whole truth. Especially if you're dealing with children, you're dealing with young people, you need to understand if you walk into a situation where there's sin, that the person that's involved is not going to want to tell how bad it is. Like, let's minimize it. Get the facts. Direct questions need to be asked. Honesty needs to be promoted. It needs to be emphasized. You need to be able, parents, get this, you need to be able to hear honest answers without blowing and hitting the ceiling. You hit the ceiling every time your kid's honest with you, and they're not going to be honest with you. You're encouraging them to go underground. You're encouraging them to cover. Learn to be able to handle bad news without blowing a stack. That's very important to your relationship with your children and managing a crisis in the home. Number three, confront issues biblically, and I'm reviewing for some tonight that may not have gotten to hear this. I say that, what I mean by that is this: use the scriptures. Use the scriptures. It's the scriptures that are quick and powerful and sharper. It's the scriptures that pierce the soul. It's the scriptures that convict. It's the scriptures that break our hearts of our sin. It's the scriptures. Go to the scriptures. It'll help. It'll cleanse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. The word has a cleansing impact on somebody that's in sin, somebody that's been found out, somebody that's made bad choices and now is in a crisis in their life. How do we help them? We confront them with the scriptures. Underneath that, if you're taking notes, you may want to write a few things down. Handle the matter privately. Handle the matter privately. By the way, in your own family, handle the matter privately. If you're dealing with one of your children, you don't need to announce everything in front of the other children. Deal with that child privately about that issue. Give them the privilege of privacy. Number two, by the way, Matthew 18:15 is the verse there. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. There's a Bible principle there. Number two, discern the heart carefully. Discern the heart carefully. Is it a rebellious heart? Is it somebody that's overtaken in a fault? Galatians chapter 6. That's not a rebellious heart. That's somebody that, boy, they have gotten into something and it has just taken over their life. It's not somebody that's trying to do something at mom and dad. Man, I just want to get back at you. There's a lot of times that people make choices out of weakness. They're feeble-minded. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 deals with unruly, feeble-minded, and weak, and how to treat those different ones. There's a different response for each one. When you're dealing with a crisis, you need to ask for discernment so that you discern the spirit by which what you're dealing with. Okay? Very important. Number three, approach the person with humility. Under confront biblically, approach the person with humility. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Parents with teenagers, can I speak to you tonight? Be careful. Be careful how you handle it. If you just go back a few years, you'll remember some things that you did too. And boy, a spirit of meekness goes a long way when you're confronting somebody. Proverbs talks about a wise reprover. You know what that tells me? There are foolish reprovers. So use meekness. Be meek in your confrontation. Number four, teach the offender his offense is primarily against God. It's primarily against God. Boy, if we ever need help when we're in sin, we need to know that what we've done is primarily against God. The psalmist said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Now my question is this. Did David know he sinned against Uriah? Oh yeah. But I'll tell you what broke David down was that he sinned against God. And we need to help people to see that their sin is first and foremost against God. You help your young people to see that. That's important. Magnify sin from the scripture in confronting them biblically, but then magnify the Savior and the way back to God. All right? Number five. I think it's number five, maybe it's number four. Call for repentance. Call for repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Repentance is an interesting thing. I believe it can happen immediate, but the Bible certainly talks about fruits meet for repentance. And when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, parents, if you're dealing with something, you ought to run to this passage with your young person. Because the Bible says there are fruits that show up with repentance. And just from my experience with working people, they don't all show up overnight. Sometimes these fruits show up in the process of coming back to God. But by all means, teach repentance. It's a change of mind about my sin. I can't hide it anymore. It is in the open. It is before God. I don't want it anymore. I do want to show carefulness moving on from where I've been. I do want to show zeal. I do want to clear myself in this matter from whoever I have offended, whoever knows about this. I need to make it right. Boy, there's a lot of fruits there. Study that passage. Call for repentance. Number five, chasten out of love. Chasten out of love. If you study the chastening hand of God in Hebrews chapter 12, God, when he chastens, makes sure that it's grievous. Did you know that? No chastening for the time, see it joyous, but grievous. Study Hebrews 12. Well, who's bringing that? God's bringing that. He makes sure it's grievous. Why? Because it does what? It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Parents, consequences need to come and they need to be grievous. They need to be felt. Not to hurt the individual. For what is the Spirit of God in that passage? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. He knows that the gateway to righteousness when you've been in wrong is chastening. We can't be afraid of that, but we need to do it in the right spirit. When you're correcting a crisis, you need to ask the question, what would be grievous? What would hurt? Right? Because that, if we follow the how God works in that way, it's not going to be joyous for a time, but in the end, it's going to yield something. It's going to yield right fruit. And that's what we want, right? That's where that person's going to be happy down the road when it's yielding the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness? When you're chastening, here are some things to pray for. You can write this out to the side or on the back there. Pray for against a despising spirit. Again, if you study Hebrews chapter 12, it says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. In other words, why does the Spirit write those things? Because the Spirit knows the leanings of us in chastening. One of them is to despise it, to consider it lightly, to not allow the chastening to have the impact that God desires to have. Pray against despising. Number two, pray against fainting. Neither be faint when the Lord corrects. Again, you study this passage out in Hebrews chapter 12. If we had time to dissect it, you would see these things. What's fainting? Give up. Just going to give up. Can't take this. Can't take the chastening. Going to throw in the towel. Throw in the towel on God. Throw in the towel on the Christian life. Throw in the towel on my family. Throw in the towel. Throw in the towel. Throw in the towel. If you're in the midst of chastening, mom and dad, you've got to pray, Lord, don't let my child become faint. Don't let my child have a despising spirit. And thirdly, in that passage of Hebrews 12, don't let my child become bitter. Sometimes there's chastening, and people come out of it bitter. So you have the context of chastening in Hebrews 12, and then right out of that, beware, look around, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. In what context? In the context of chastening. Get bitter. Boy, I get more hurt over this matter. Boy, I take that in. Boy, I let that drive my reactions and grow as a root. Pray, pray when you chasten out of love. Boy, you need to be praying on some fronts because it's a dangerous territory for somebody that's in a sin crisis. Very dangerous territory. What's behind that, preacher? What's next? Communicate love, communicate hope, and communicate mercies or mercy. You ever done wrong and had 50 pounds of guilt on your shoulders? It doesn't feel good for somebody else to get on your shoulders and jump up and down. Now, our kids, and when somebody's in something, they need the chastening, but they also need to see love and hope and mercy. There is a way back to God. And son, I'm disappointed in you, but I want you to know I can forgive you because God forgives. There's hope. You can rebuild from here. A just man does what? He gets up. After seven times he falls, he still gets up. So We pick them up. We hold them up. We encourage them back on the right path. We do that with a spirit of love, hope, and mercy. Okay? We learn that in Romans chapter 15. We learn that from James chapter number 3. Wisdom is full of mercy. When we're handling people, wisdom is full of mercy. We learn that in Habakkuk chapter 3. When he's angry, God in wrath, remember your mercy. Your mercy. Confirm your love. Confirm your love. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how ugly it is. Confirm your love. Reassure your child or your family. We're going to go forward. We're going to work through this in a biblical way. We're going to please God, and God can be honored in the end. God is going to help us. He is ready to pardon. He is full of mercy. Listen, listen, listen. When somebody's in sin, they need to hear those words. They need to hear those words. There are some passages on hope that you can write down there when you're dealing with love, hope, and mercy. Jeremiah 18, I think, is a beautiful passage to take somebody to that's in a sin crisis, because it talks about a broken vessel, and it talks about God the potter makes that broken vessel into another vessel. The potter knows how to do that. It's a great passage of hope, great passage of love, great passage of mercy. I think another passage is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 26. When you're dealing with them, love, hope, and mercy, let them pray and unload the sin specifically before a holy God. Let them pray. If they have not done it, give them the opportunity to find cleansing. There is freedom at the cross. There's always freedom at the cross. Finish in praying for them and thanking God that he is a forgiving God. Nehemiah 9:17, God is ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. That's the mercy of God. What else, preacher, should I be aware of in a time of sin crisis? Number 6, curb your emotions. Curb, C-U-R-B. Curb your emotions against reacting in a fleshly way. Curb your emotions against reacting in a fleshly way. You immediately may come to your mind to compare your child to one of your other children. Don't do that. Don't do that. Curb your emotions. Curb anger. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we are not to provoke our children to wrath. One of the great places that children are provoked to wrath is when mom and dad find out something that was hidden and they go off. We can still be spirit controlled when we hear bad stuff. And we need to be. Guard. Don't call your mate a name. Don't belittle your children. Refuse to use carnal language. Curb your fleshly reactions. If you're heated, if you're hot, don't talk. Get yourself under control so that you can manage the situation spiritually. Listen, when fires occur in our homes, we can calm them down. Be spiritual and calm them down. Or we can be fleshly, add more wood to the fire, and blow them up. That's true. That's true in every family here tonight. I told you last week, is there a chance that you're going to have a sin crisis in your home? Yep. Pretty high one in my estimation, because all of us are sinners. All right? Number seven, cast off the temptation for quick fixes. Almost done here tonight. I'll give you the other ones. I'll spend some time on this one. Number 8, control your tongue from spreading family dirty laundry. Whoso keepeth his mouth, Proverbs 21:23, and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Keep your family laundry to yourself. Right? Wisdom. Wisdom when we're dealing with a crisis. Lastly, choose the path of forgiveness. Do you ever realize in life that the people probably that are closest to you will hurt you the deepest? That's a very real possibility in your life. So what do? I choose forgiveness. That's what I do, and that's a choice. Go back to cast off the temptation for quick fixes. Sometimes mom and dad, sometimes young person, somebody may need ongoing counseling for a while. You're dealing with something that has been a habit for a long time. You don't confess, repent, and it's all done. Don't swallow that. A pattern of deceit has been built. A habit has been developed. That person is in need of some serious spiritual attention. We have, over the years, we have tried to deal with these things. Quick fix, everything's back to normal. And it's not back to normal. You don't develop things for months and years in your life and come and repent and it's all fixed. It's all forgiven. But it doesn't mean all the habits and the patterns are fixed in your life. It takes time to work through those things. And those are the opportunities. Those are the opportunities that happen in our homes where there's great discipleship that can happen if we'll take a son, if we'll take a daughter under our wings, if we'll work with a teenager and say, you're worth it. You're worth my time. You're worth my investment. We'll work together to get through this in a biblical manner. You may need stronger accountability. We talked about standards. You may need greater standards, especially if you've gone over a cliff in some area. Certainly the world looks to community service. The world looks to tethers. The world looks to rehab. They know there's not quick fixes. We better wake up to that too. Understand that in some situations we're not dealing with quick fixes. You or your family member may struggle with assurance of salvation because of what they're done. That's very real. That's a torture chamber for somebody that's in a sin crisis. And they're going to need help through that. They're going to need somebody to work through that with them. You or your family member's choices may have legal implications. They may. Those are bridges to cross, right? You or your family member's choices will reveal a spiritual problem. Watch this. And in most of these cases that I'm dealing with where there's been something going on for a long period of time, not only is there a serious spiritual problem, but there is a broken relationship with the Holy Spirit. They have no idea what the voice of the Holy Spirit looks like, sounds like. It's broken. It's non-existent. And helping somebody to get back to being able to hear the voice of God. Listen, some of the things we've dealt with over the years, one of the greatest comments that happens in my office is, Pastor, I heard God this week. Again. Pastor, I haven't heard that for a long time. That's wonderful. You can hear God every week. You can hear God every day. But don't think that we can just, it's over. Well, it may be over, but there's going to be needing continual work on some of these fronts. And understand that. That's the long-term help that we can give. My prayer is that you don't have to deal with that. But we're sinners. I may say as I close this series out, discernment, biblical discernment in a digital world, if we'll discern right, and we'll build the fences high, we'll run into less of this. What I preached on Sunday night, we won't have to be doing this as much. But if we don't build the preventative maintenance in our homes, and parents, I'm talking to you about the digital devices specifically, if we don't build those hedges good and strong, then we're going to be walking through this together. And listen, if we walk through this, it's worth it. That young person, that family is worth it. But oh, isn't it much easier to prevent a skid than it is to correct one? So may we learn some things from this series. I pray it's a help to you. Let's bow.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.